Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
We each have to open our hearts at some point to receive God's love. God says, I love you. I loved you so much that I gave my own son for you. I love you so much. Nothing can separate you from my love, not height or depth or anything. I am your shepherd, and I will give you everything you need. I will be there to lead you and guide you. Open your hearts up to know what that love is like beyond a human sense.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, since 2003, 20 APU students and 5 APU faculty members have been named Fulbright Scholars, accepting grants to conduct research and do things like teach English in countries like Romania and Jordan, Andorra and Korea. Very, very rich academic heritage at APU. We are proud to have the Homeward Center for Youth and Family right on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, recording from the campus today, and our interview with Catherine Hart Weber talking about learning to thrive in everyday life. Remember, all of the programming that you hear Monday through Friday here on Homeward is archived audio, actually our weekend material, and our short features are as well. If you'd like to access any of them, you can do so without any sort of subscription cost. Just go to homeward.com and hit radio programming, program archives, and you're going to find access to what you're looking for. And now, without further ado, part two of Jim's conversation with Catherine Hart Weber here on Homeward. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A great conversation today. Catherine Hart Weber is with us again. We're having a continuing conversation about learning to thrive in everyday life. Catherine Hart Weber has written a wonderful book called Flourish, Discover the Daily Joy of Abundant and Vibrant Living. And I have read this book, and I actually love this book. Dr. Hart Weber is a licensed marriage and family therapist who writes on great topics like marriage, parenting, sexuality. She's co-author of several books. The one that I just passed out is Stressed or Depressed, a practical and inspirational guide for parents of hurting teens, and she makes her home in Southern California. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Jim. Good to be with you again.
Great to be with you, and I tell you, I mentioned before, but my wife stole my copy of the book, and she just said, we need more books like this, and I appreciate you so much writing this and all that you do. You wrote in your book also a very powerful illustration about Billy Graham and his son Franklin when Franklin was younger. Now, Franklin has taken over the Graham organization, but at one time, Franklin Graham was not exactly living the life, was he?
No, he wasn't living the life. And in the illustration that I like so much is this picture of him coming in. You know, Billy Graham's having a board meeting with all these great Christian leaders, probably in suits and ties, and Franklin comes bursting in the door, and he's, you know, got his leathers on, and he's looking all scruffy, and he's like, hey, Dad, you have some money for me, you know? And you can just see this picture of like, oh, sorry, excuse me, you know, this is my prodigal son, you know?
Right.
But he didn't do any of that. No. Franklin tells the story of how his dad just said, this is my son, and he introduced him and gave him money. And that was a picture of the kind of love that Franklin says his dad showed him that really was key in him coming back to the Lord and, of course, having incredible ministry today.
Yeah. You know, isn't it interesting that in many ways, if we had that kind of relationship with our own dads, and a lot of us didn't, but if somebody had a relationship like that, they'd have an easier relationship with God, or at least understanding God's love, because God does that for us. And if you're going to flourish, part of it is also understanding that God loves you unconditionally, not for what you do, but for who you are, his child. Mm-hmm. How does somebody get that kind of understanding when perhaps they didn't have a father who loved them like Billy Graham loved his son, Franklin?
Mm-hmm. You know, and we come back again, Jim, to the fact that we each have to open our hearts at some point to receive God's love for us. God says, I love you. I loved you so much that I gave my own son for you. I love you so much. Nothing can separate you from my love, not height or depth or anything. You know, I am your shepherd. And I will give you everything you need. I will be there to lead you and guide you. And there's something about just basically opening our hearts up to know what that love is like beyond a human sense. You know, now God does use us to express love to each other. But if we're struggling to know what that looks like, open your heart up. You know, God taught me something about this. When I was writing the book, in the middle of writing the book, I went to a grocery store one day. And I got out my car, and there was a beggar man right in front of me, scratching in the trash can. And I was like, oh gosh, I'm in a hurry. I've got so much to do, you know. I don't have time for this. But something in me just said, you know, just this poor man, just love him right now. Just offer him a meal, you know. Go in and offer a meal. So I said to him, you know, can I please buy you something to eat when I go in? And he said, well, yeah, well, I guess you could get me a sandwich if you don't mind. And I said, I'd love to do that. And then as I was walking away, he says, and if you don't mind, could you put that on whole wheat? And there was something about it. I thought, you know, you're a beggar man. You be happy for your sandwich, you know. Why would you ask for? And the Lord just said to me, you know, that's how I am towards you. You know, we all are so needy. And we all broken in some way. And yet when we call out to him and say, yeah, you know, please give me a little sandwich or something, he says, yes. And, you know, and we said, could we have it on a whole wheat? And he's like, sure. Yeah, I want to lavish you. And I went in that store and I bought him a sandwich and a whole wheat. And I bought him a bag of chips and I bought him a bag of grapes and I bought him a drink and I bought him a bag of cookies. And I took it back to him. And I just felt this love in me say, you are in need and you don't have any love in your life, but this is a picture of it. And I said, God wants you to have this meal and he wants you to experience his love. And that was such a picture of God's love for us. And he wants us to know his love for us and for us to pass that on to others.
You know, isn't it that's a perfect picture of what God does for us. Sometimes we don't accept that. Interesting enough.
No.
Sometimes, even when we're wanting to do that, we don't take care of ourselves. And I thought it was interesting that in your book, you say that healthy self-care is a spiritual practice in flourishing. Because a lot of times people say, well, you know, if you're a Christian, then you're supposed to give. But you're saying, no, there's some self-care that actually helps you flourish. Help us understand that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the classic, you know, when you're on the airplane, they say, if there's anything happens and the gas mask come down, put your own mask on first, then you can help others.
Right.
And I heard this from a little Thai woman giving a massage once. And I said, oh, my goodness, I haven't had my massages in so long and I don't have time for this. And she says, oh, not good. No, not good. You take care of yourself. And you be relaxed, because if you're not, you have nothing for anybody else. And I thought, wow, that was just so profound. And there's a sense in which if we aren't able to be the fully best of who we are, functioning in our gifts and being patient and kind and seeking God to have all, you know, these positive emotions of love and joy and peace. And if we aren't able to be the best of who we can be, then how can we be better parents and be
right.
patient and be long-suffering and be persevering? And how can we contribute with our gifts and our talents if we aren't flourishing in our own lives?
Yeah, well, if we don't self-care, then we're not going to flourish.
No, if you're stressed out and you're too busy
right.
and you have burnout and adrenaline and you're impatient and if you are not caring for yourself, then you are not going to be able to. And if even if you're working for good things and for things that you think are worthwhile, you know, you can still be wilting. Because even eating healthy food, too much of it's not good for you. Too much honey, you know, too much sweetness
right.
will make you
right.
sick. And too much of good stuff can even deplete you.
It's so interesting that you said that. I remember being in Hawaii one time speaking, and a woman came up to me afterwards, and she said, Jim, I have a word from God for you. And that always scares me, actually, but it's also beautiful. And she said, are you ready? And I said, yes. And she said, untended fires soon become nothing but a pile of ashes. I said, say it to me again. And, you know, there was 8,000 kids in an arena and band and, you know, the whole thing. And so she kind of shouted it. She said, untended fires soon become nothing but a pile of ashes. And, you know, that was prophetic for me. And I think that God did speak to me through that woman. Because if we don't tend the fire within our own lives, we are not going to flourish. But we're going to wilt and finally be of no good to anybody, including ourselves. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Catherine Hart Weber, Learning to Thrive in Everyday Life. Her book is called Flourish, Discover the Daily Joy of Abundant and Vibrant Living. You know, we were not created just to exist and to get by or to languish. God's desire is for all of his creation to live abundantly.
Amen to that. And Jim, we are so grateful for the people who are supporting the Homeward Ministry right now, because they enable our ministry to flourish, quite frankly. I mean, Homeward has been a ministry since 1985. Dr. Jim Burns has devoted nearly 30 years of his life to speaking to parents, to talking to kids about issues that are important in the culture. And we are so grateful for those of you who have been praying for us, many of you listening to this program have been praying for us for just about that much time. But if you're new to the Homeward broadcast, I encourage you to check us out at homeward.com and learn a little bit about the legacy of Homeward and the impact that we continue to have in the 21st century by God's grace and through your prayers and faithful financial support. Coming up on the end of our fiscal year here, we'd really appreciate to hear from you with a gift of any amount to support our ministry. If you can give a gift of $25 or $50, $100 or more, it really goes a long way toward helping parents and families grow stronger in their relationship with the Lord. And you can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
How's your steak, Bill?
Oh, it's great. Debbie, this is delicious.
Why, thank you, sweetheart.
Isn't the steak delicious, Tina?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Well, then why don't you thank your mother for dinner?
Why isn't that what she's supposed to do?
Well, of course it is. Heather, why don't you thank Mom for making your favorite vegetable, broccoli and cheese?
Hello, I'm eating, and you taught me that it was rude to talk with my mouth full.
Oh, boy.
One of the toughest jobs a parent will face is trying to teach a bunch of self-centered kids to express appreciation to the ones who really deserve it. You know, like you, Mom and Dad. Well, get this. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. That means no matter what happens, we can always find reason to be thankful. That's an attitude you want to build in the lives of your kids as well. For a free copy of our tip sheet called Helping Your Kids Develop an Attitude of Gratitude, go to homeward.com. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about learning to thrive in everyday life. Yes, it is possible. You're going to have to be intentional about this. Catherine Hart Weber is with us. She's written a wonderful book called Flourish, Discover the Daily Joy of Abundant and Vibrant Living. You know that 47% of adults reported that their stress level actually increased just this past year. And if your stress level has increased this past year, then you're probably not flourishing much, and that's what we're talking about today. Flourishing isn't selfish, by the way. The purpose of flourishing is to bear fruit in all areas of your life so that you can be a blessing to others. And yet so many people feel wilted and are kind of languishing, and actually what we're talking about today is how do you flourish even in the midst of sometimes some crummy circumstances. Catherine, one of the parts of your book, and I've mentioned that I loved your book, but one of the parts of the book that actually did the most for me was when you talked about gratitude, and you said that gratitude can be learned.
It can. We've heard the saying, gratitude's an attitude.
Yeah.
We might say that it's something we don't naturally do when we're younger. We have to teach children manners, yeah, and we have to tell them, you know, remember what to say. Say
right.
Thank you.
Right.
And, you know, remember to write your thank you notes. But gratitude can be an attitude that we can learn. And there's some great research that's come out in the last 10 years or so on gratitude. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of money and time spent mm-hmm. on showing the benefits. And it's something that we are instructed so much in the Word of God. Be thankful in all things. Mm-hmm. And everything, give thanks, you know. And some of it, I think, has become sort of yada yada for us. Like, give thanks.
Right.
Thanksgiving, yeah, it's a good time. But the power of gratitude is being shown, for instance, in forgiveness. Mm-hmm. One of the most important breakthroughs in discovering on how we can truly let go and forgive is to focus on gratitude. Gratitude has been shown to be extremely healing, important in healing. in recovery from trauma. So I'm just about as excited as you about this concept of gratitude, because I have started practicing. I've been more intentional about gratitude in my life. And I've seen the physiological and emotional and profound effects in my life of being more intentional and learning how to be grateful.
Well, you know, the Bible, you mentioned it. The Bible said, in everything you do, give thanks. And then even goes on to say, for this is God's will for you. And I know some people have trouble with that because they say, well, am I supposed to give thanks for divorce? Am I supposed to give thanks for brokenness? Am I supposed to give thanks for death, abuse, you know, bankruptcy, whatever? What do you say to the person who's saying, yeah, but?
Well, the Bible actually doesn't say you need to be thankful for it. You don't say, oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for that knock upside the head. I really needed that, you know. It's not that kind of thank you. It's be thankful in all things. And I think there's a wonderful practice that we can relearn, actually, and embrace again. It's called the examine. When you take a look at your life and you say, what am I most grateful for? And what am I, where do I feel most alive in God? And what am I least grateful for? And what is the struggle for me? And really, Jim, we hold those both out in life. And it's not saying, oh, just forget all your troubles and just, you know, be happy. Don't worry, just be happy. It's saying, no, I'm sincerely struggling here. But you know what? Philippians 4 says, in all things, you take your concerns to God. Say, God, you know, I am really struggling with this, and I give it to you. But in all of this, I still want to remember your goodness to me. I want to remember this little thing and that person who sent a note and your provision this way and how this worked out. And so we hold out both. We take our concerns and we honest and authentic with it. But then we don't forget the good things that we can be thankful for. And I love the way Rick Warren says, life is not a bunch of hills and valleys. It's like a train track. There's two tracks going next to each other all the time. There's always something to be thankful for, and there's always something that you're growing through or struggling with. And we need to learn how to hold out both.
Yeah, you know, I love that you said in and not for, because that scripture does say in. And I found in my own life, I was going through kind of a tougher time and feeling more self-pity probably than depression, but feeling some self-pity. And I came across that verse and I learned something that my mom had died. And I couldn't say I'm thankful for mom's death.
No.
She died young and, you know, she died of cancer and on and on. And then I went, no, I can be thankful in mom's death. She's with God in heaven.
Right.
She's not in pain any longer. She actually brought some of our family's member back together. Her death brought us back together. My dad, a few months later, married my mom's best friend, which was wonderful, and we're thankful for and in that. But he became a Christian. So in all these things, I still couldn't say, God, thank you for mom dying.
No.
But I could say, God, thank you in mom's death. Look at all these wonderful things that came about. And when you say forgiveness also, in personal illustration, in my own life, you know, there are times if I'm struggling with something that Kathy and I are going through, and we've been married for over 30 years and we write books on marriage, but we still struggle. We have a high maintenance marriage at times. And if I practice thankfulness, what I call thank therapy, I can write down reasons why I'm thankful for Kathy. And all of a sudden, the stuff that bugged me about her, it's done, because there's so many other wonderful things that kind of counteract whatever is bugging me, you know, for the moment. So it really is, as you said, it's therapeutic. It changes your mood, but it goes deeper than that in some ways. And gratefulness is also a very spiritual act, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very heart thing. Mm-hmm. It's a very deeply heart thing. In fact, there's one of the exercises where you talked about, can we learn this and be intentional? Yes, we can.
Yeah.
And one of the exercises is called the appreciative heart. Mm-hmm. And literally, you think of what you appreciate about something, and you physically feel your heart feeling appreciation. So you focus on the feeling of appreciation, and the physiological effect on this that they've researched is amazing. It changes your brain chemistry.
Wow.
It sends, you know, more positive endorphins and such in your brain. It gives you a sense of your heart rate goes down. It lowers the stress hormones in your body, and it literally brings health and life to your bones and to your whole being. And so the more we can turn towards moments of gratitude and moments of stopping again to remember our desolations and our difficult times, but also our consolations and the things we can be grateful for, even in the midst of difficult times. And they say that gratitude has the most power when you're able to do it like you did in the midst of your mom's, you know, passing, that that is when it has the most powerful effect, when we need it the most, when it's the hardest for us to do. But gratitude and in being able to embrace that in intentional ways, for instance, at night, one of the exercises is before you go to bed at night, count your blessings. Just jot down three things during the day that you can think of that went well. Three things, you got a parking spot right up front, or, you know, you were able to have a beautiful meal, or somebody, you had an encounter with somebody that was meaningful. Little things like that. When we stop and even remember the little things in life, it warms our hearts. And if you feel that in your heart, they show that really gratitude like this is what results in the highest level of satisfaction in life.
That gives
us the greatest happiness, the greatest fulfillment in life. It's just being grateful for the simple things in life.
Oh, that's a great, great comment. We don't have much time left, but I'm thinking about someone who's driving down the road or they're listening to this, maybe even on a podcast, and they're struggling and they are wilting. They are saying, we are not flourishing. Right. Our family's not flourishing. I'm not flourishing. Mm-hmm. What would be a great first step for them to move from languishing and wilting toward flourishing?
Well, I'd say right now, a first good step would be what we've just been talking about, to start thinking about what it is in your life that is not just all struggle and hardship and you know, we can't see the forest for the trees when we're in something. But just take a moment to stop and to shift your perspective onto the things about life that are good. The seeds of some things that you'd want to start cultivating and say, you know what, I do want to start being more intentional, maybe to go for a walk every day and enjoy being outside, or to start spending some more time with someone I enjoy. Start thinking of how you could seed your life with some of the positive things and to remember the things you can be grateful for, because that's what helps bring the balance, like you were sharing in your story. We've got to find the balance.
Well, we do have to find the balance, and we can be intentional. And I want to encourage you that if you're struggling right now, take it to God, but then act upon that by becoming a person who moves from being a grumbler and a complainer toward a more grateful person, and you will flourish. Catherine Hart Weber, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Jim, so much for having me with you. I've really enjoyed that time.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and counselor Catherine Hart Weber. Learning to Thrive in Everyday Life has been our theme for the past couple of Homeward programs. Flourish is the name of her book, and if you'd like to learn more about that, visit our online resource center at homeward.com if you're not there already. When you go to the radio program listing, you'll see Catherine's name is listed as the guest for this edition of the program and the previous edition of the Homeward broadcast, and you can just click on her name, and it'll take you right to more information about her and her writing and her speaking and her counseling. And what a great resource. We are so privileged to have her as part of the many different experts that speak into so many different family issues here on Homeward. And Jim, speaking of family issues, one of the conversations that a lot of families have, they'll talk about sexual purity, talk about drugs and alcohol abuse, talk about internet safety, but one that we don't always talk about is the other S word, and that is stewardship. And we've got some new resources now to help parents deal with this area that we don't always deal with.
Well, you're right. You know, many parents have the talk with their kids about the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse or sex and sexuality. Yeah. But when it comes to money, that's one area that sometimes we parents miss altogether. Mm. And we sort of just breeze over that. And yet it's so critical for so many families. Well, many kids only think about money when they need some.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's why I'm excited about this brand new group of tip sheets that we've created to help parents and kids in this particular area, stewardship. As parents, we need to be intentional about teaching our kids about stewardship, and then we need the consistency to teach them how to live these principles out, both in our lives and in their lives.
Yeah.
These new tip sheets are designed to be conversation starters that you can use with your kids about crucial topics like savings, spending, investing, and even giving.
And these are great tip sheets, Jim. It's so important for us as parents to be intentional when it comes to this aspect of lives, because we can just assume that our kids know, well, it's money, you have to have it to survive, so they'll figure it out. But our friends at Steadfast Companies, they're a leading real estate investment trust company. They're helping people in that area of life, but because of their heart for ministry and their heart for kids, they've partnered with us to provide these tip sheets. And all you have to do is go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section, and then in the keyword, just type in Steadfast, STEADFAST. And you can get a hold of these tip sheets. You can read them, you and your spouse, or if you're a single parent or co-parent, you want to just go ahead and take a look at them on your own. And then start imparting these principles to your kids. So go to homeward.com, articles and media, and then the keyword is steadfast. And again, steadfast is spelled STEADFAST. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.